Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
All the time. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the songs tonight. I believe God is pleased. Brother Melvin, Brother Arliss, y'all talk about not having the wind to sing and everything. Do you know when you step through them gates, you're going to rear back and sing like nobody's business. Nothing going to hinder. Just going to praise Him for eternity. And I look forward to that. And I thought about you singing that song, the only thing that man is a print in his hands. He's going to take those hands that He stretched out and allow Him to put those nails there. He's going to take those same hands and He's going to wrap them around you. And He's going to love you. He's going to love you for eternity. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's the one that I want to spend eternity with, and I pray that you do too. Matthew chapter 26 tonight. I'm going to continue on and more or less teaching on prayer tonight. As usual, I got a lot of scripture. Me and Stephen was talking about that earlier. I said I'm a scripture shotgun shooter, I guess. I use a lot of scripture, but that's the Word of God, and that's what I'm supposed to do is preach that. And Stephen, I guess the name of the message tonight would be Watch and Pray. He asked me earlier, I said, well, I don't really have one. I'll get one when I get up there. So watch and pray is be the title of the message tonight. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. I believe prayer is very important in a Christian's life. I believe we need to exercise it each and every day. And we're going to read here from Matthew 26, the account of our Savior, the time that He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He was praying before they come to take Him, and the prayers that He had uttered. And it's to be our example. He is our example for life. Amen. We're supposed to follow Him. Christian is Christian imitator. To follow Christ. To be like Him. And I believe we can learn a lesson from Him tonight. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto His disciples, set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them, and He went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh He to His disciples, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for this day, Lord. This beautiful day that You have blessed us with. Thank You, Father, for Your care over us. Thank You for being with Brother Jim, Lord, and protecting him, Father, from what could have been very bad. Thank You that You were there with him, that You helped him. And Father, there's others of us I know that Your hand's been upon this week. Your protection's been about us. And Your love has been bestowed upon us. And we thank You for that. And Lord, tonight, would You just help me to share on this message of prayer, that You would help us to learn from it and to grow in You, to be, Father, Your children, to be Your servants, to be strong, godly Christians, Father. Teach us to pray, Father. Teach us to give praise and glory and honor unto you in each and everything that we do. And I just pray that your hand will be upon us. Please help me this night, Father. I can't do anything, Father. I'm nothing without you. I need you every moment of every day. And I just pray that you will help me to share this tonight and that you will be lifted up and that you will be glorified, Father. I love you, Savior. And I thank you that you love me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He's given us direction there, telling us to watch and pray. But the other part says that you enter not into temptation. We got to be on our guard continually. We got to be watchful in things going on around this world. I've got a lot of statements that I've read other people that I've read that I want to share with you tonight. Just different statements about prayer and things that go along with the scriptures. And the first one says, prayer is not designed to change God. It is designed to change us. Prayer is not calling God in to bless our activities. Rather, prayer takes us into God's presence and He shows us His will and prepares us to obey Him. Now, prayer is like I said, is not designed to change God, but it's to go into His presence and asking God to help us and to meet us and to strengthen us. Corrie Ten Boom says, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. R.A. Torrey says, those persons who know the deep peace of God, the unfathomable peace that passeth all understanding, are always men and women of much prayer. Now, as I studied on this and I thought about it, I shared with you some testimonies of my prayer life and how God grew me in my prayer life and how I started out where He took me. And I want to share just a couple of more tonight. In October of 2000, I had to go to the hospital here, the emergency room here in Harrison. Tammy's father had fallen really ill again. He'd had a stroke. And he was in the ER there, and I got to go back and to be with him. As soon as I went through the door, he was crying out, pray, Joy, pray. Pray, Joy, pray. That's all he could say. And I prayed with him. Roy didn't live much longer than that, but the last words he spoke to me was, pray, Joy, pray. If I could never do anything else for anybody, I want to be able to pray and lift their needs up to the Lord. And I think each and every one of us need to be those kind of Christians, those kind of people, that people know that we pray, that we can reach and get a hold of God and lift the petitions up to Him. Well, in 2015, February 18th, something else happened, very important. Amen, little girl. I got to pray with Emma, and I heard her ask Jesus in her heart. I got to pray with her. Pray is important, people. Prayer is important. Praying and seeking God together. And it was just a blessing to get to pray with her and to share things. And we prayed about other things through the years, and I hope that she always looks to Grandpa to pray with her when she's in struggles or trials or things like that. But not only me, with Mimi, with her mom and dad, with her sister, with her friends. Hey, that's what we're here for, to support each other. We're to pray for one another. We're to encourage each other, to lift each other up unto the Lord through prayer. And I believe that God wants us to do that. I kind of testified of praying for Tammy, all of her health needs and everything. And I've shared this before, but I feel like sharing it again tonight. When she was in the early attacks of her blood disorder, they were trying different things, and they had decided they were going to take her spleen out. This was in the very beginnings of it and everything. We was over there in Washington Regional, and we'd all been praying. Brother Lonnie had prayed, and you of the church were praying for her and everything. And I was praying, and they had got her ready to take her down to surgery, and we went down to where it was at, and we went and rode the elevator. I got to be with her through that, and we got to these one doors, and they said, this is as far as you can go. And that was as far as I could go. I had to turn loose of her and to let them take over. And I prayed, and we'd been praying, and I just put her in God's hands, and God was with her through that. God's been with her through the years and taking care of her. But there at that hospital, I had to go out into the waiting room, and all my family was there, and her family was there, and Brother Lonnie was there, and Sister Connie, and different ones. And I could not get comfort there. They were there to help me and encourage me. They were there for her, but they were there for the family. And as I sat there and I began praying to myself, the sweet Holy Spirit comforted me just because I lifted my needs up to Him and He met with me there. And He took care of me and He helped me and He took care of her and He has for many years. And I just praise Him for that. And I give Him glory for everything. It's because I have the privilege to talk to my Lord and to take everything before Him. And I just give Him praise for that. And I'm going to do something different right here now. I'm going to ask you if you have a testimony of prayer that you would like to share to encourage each and everybody. I'm not trying to fill time. I've got 5 or 6 pages of note here that we're going to cover. But I want to hear from you. Other people need to hear from you. It's not just the preachers, man. I can sit in a testimony service and get fed as much as when the preaching's going on, if that's the way God ordains the service. So I want to give you a moment. Somebody, first, stand up and give a testimony of prayer. You're in good company. Yes.
And it's where I find peace.
Yeah.
Just like what you said, that's where you were comforted.
Yeah.
And I can be having the worst day. And all I have to do is pray. And during that time of prayer, it's peace. And it's wonderful.
Amen.
And the second I finish praying, that peace might not be there anymore. But it's there when I pray. And that's how I know the Holy Spirit is with me all the time.
Amen.
It doesn't mean He takes away everything that hurts us or causes us to question everything, but He's there.
Yeah.
And when we pray, we find that He's there. And not only that, but we pray and then we read His Word and He confirms that He's
Amen.
There.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
And so, prayer is most important part of our walk with Christ, in my opinion, and He is teaching me that more and more every single day.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that I can come to Him and talk to Him about things that are hard for me to talk to anyone else about, because He already knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the most comforting thing of all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Someone else.
Yes, Brother Joy, you were talking about those doors closing. Those are the hardest doors we'll ever see close. Is when the one that you love is facing surgery.
Mm-hmm.
When RFK is going to have that. So, open heart surgery. Because they told me it would be 6 hours. And I was sitting out there and they'd come and tell us what each step they was doing. And man, you'd think those hours was never going to pass. But you know, you just have to ask the Lord to strengthen you, because man, that is so hard. And they come back I guess it was about the second or third hour, well, we're ready to start now. And you think, Lord, what's going on? You know, they have to, man, it's a long process. They have to drain your blood and all that stuff. And I mean, I tell you, I was a... one nervous little woman. But anyway, the Lord seen us through.
Amen.
He never had to have no physical therapy or nothing. So I just thank the Lord for
Amen. Amen.
And give Him His strength.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Someone else? Answer prayer. Anyone?
Well, I can tell you now, prayer saved my life for me.
Yes.
Years ago, we was going into New Mexico with that Walmart, and they were just driving us, and I come in Thursday afternoon and thought I was coming home, and they told me, said, no, said, you've got to be in Albuquerque 8 o'clock in the morning, and I said, I can't go, I'm running, and they said, no, you got to go, so they booked me up, and I was going out there, and I was coming up into Groom, Texas there, and I guess I fell asleep at the wheel. And all of a sudden I woke up, just kind of woke up in a little bit, and it was an eastbound truck had blown out a front tire on the other side and come across and laid right down across the bridge. I was fixing to go across, and I just went off that ramp. And went down there, and I got me some coffee and woke up. But anyway, when I got home that weekend, I called my mother, and she said, I told her, I said, well, Mom, I had a close call this week. And she said, you did? I said, yep. She said, I missed about 2:30 Thursday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, how'd you know? She said, because your dad was in there, he couldn't sleep, and he was at the kitchen table with his head on the table, and he was praying for you. And if it hadn't been for Dad's prayer, I wouldn't have made it that night.
Yes,
sir. I know it just as well as I'm sitting here tonight.
Yes, sir.
And that just goes to show you that there's power in prayer.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And you know what? It ain't the only time I've been saved.
Yeah.
You know, I've had several close calls. But there's always somebody praying.
Yes,
sir. And it saved me and brought me through.
Amen.
I just give the Lord praise for
yes, sir.
Power in prayer.
Amen. Brother Danny, would you?
I was going to say, I you think the big thanks for last week in February when I almost didn't make it. Mm-hmm. I know this church on their knees for me.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. Well, that was said at one time, it was my intervention. It wasn't the doctors. Thank God for doctors. There's so much wrong with me. Any one of them could have killed me by itself.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But, I appreciate your prayers, folks.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever let that.
Amen. All right, anyone else?
I don't understand that. He ain't talking about got problems. You know, we all got problems, one way or another.
Yes, sir.
You know, when my wife passed away, before she passed away, I told her to go to the hospital so my kidney would bother me. I'm just like you, I'm emotional. You know, we got to get emotional in the Lord.
Yes.
But anyhow, I told her I had to go to the hospital. So she told me, well, call her. To bring her oldest brother, which is my stepson. I told her, no. I said, I'll be all right. She said, you want me to go with you? I said, no, I said, you need to stay here. That's because she couldn't get up, she couldn't walk. And anyhow, I went to the hospital, and I come back, and they told me I had kidney disease, coronary kidney disease. So then I had to go up. I come home, found her in the floor. And you know, that was hard for me.
Yes, sir.
But after that, I had to go to the hospital in Cox South up in Springfield. And they told me that both of my kidneys were blocked. That they had to go in there with tubes and drain both of my kidneys. And then they had to put a stent in both of my kidneys, one of each of my kidneys. So, you know, I got problems just like anybody else. We all got some kind of problems, one way or another. But God is still on the throne.
Yes, sir.
And he's still in the healing business.
Yes.
And I believe he's going to take care of me.
Yes, sir.
And I know he is. So I love him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Anyone else tonight? It's good.
Everyone knows what happened with our twins. That was my first pregnancy. And we weren't Christians then. But when I became pregnant with Peyton, I was like 6 months along before I found out. And I think the Lord did that for a reason. I think it was just to keep me calm, because when we did find out, we were afraid, just because what could happen again. And I was just, it wasn't long after that I got saved. But I know when my my mom and dad were sharing with the church everything that was going on. And I know people were praying in because they would tell us. And at the time, it didn't mean a lot to me. And it wasn't long after that that I became saved. And I started praying so much that he would just be healthy.
Yeah.
And he was. And he gave me such a peace. And when I got pregnant with Kate, I was about 12 weeks old, and started having some bleeding. And so, of course, we were scared to death and went up to the hospital. I remember now Kevin praying with me and just got to stay for a while and get checked out, and it was fine. After that, I got to go home, and I remember opening my Bible the next morning, and it was on the first verse of Psalm 40. Says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I was very patient that night, but he still heard me crying.
Yes, ma'am.
He knew how much we needed her. And then, of course, you know, Katie, so he's blessed me so much, and that's great family. Even though there's two already there, and that gives us a reason, another reason to go. And it wasn't, I don't know when it was, but all the cards and everyone who sent, I couldn't read them at the time of the twin funeral and things. It was too much, but I found a card from you and Tammy, and it has a verse that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You don't even know sometimes when people are praying for you. You look back over the years and you don't know who all was.
Yeah.
I think everyone who did, and Lonnie and Connie, I know, did, and were so kind. And I wish I cared about it then like I do now. I just wasn't safe. And the Lord had me find that card from you all with that verse on it at that time because I needed that. It was a particularly bad day. It was after I had taken the script. Somehow I found it, and he put it right where I needed. So prayer, it's everything to a Christian. It's our lifeline, and it's to other people it should be too. So I just praise the Lord for he's been better to me than I deserve, and he just takes care of us. I'm not very lovable, but he's so, so good.
Amen.
And praise him for his goodness and his mercy.
Amen. Prayer is a privilege that God bestows upon us. Anyone else tonight before we go on?
We might have talked about it in our Bible study, or it could have just been something the Lord has shown me through. But we don't have to pray. We don't pray because we think God doesn't know already what we're going through. He already knows. We pray because it shows him that we trust him to handle it for us.
Yes.
Because we can't.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of prayer.
Yeah.
That he already knows. He could already make a way, but he wants us to take that leap of faith to trust him to take care of it all.
It's part of that relationship. All right, any others? Romans chapter 8, verse 26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Intercede is to plead in favor of one and to meditate upon. Intercession is prayer that involves taking hold of God's will and refusing to let go until he comes, until it comes to pass. Oswald Chambers' statement says, I believe that is us exercising our faith in God. I believe God will do what he says he will do. Amen. I believe God will do what he says he will do. And he gives us that privilege that we can come to him in prayer and spend time with him. And as I said, it's a relationship. If I don't have my time first thing in the morning with the Lord, I'm not going to leave the house. I'm going to make that time some way, somehow. I got to be late for work. I'm going to be late. I'm not taking a chance of stepping outside without meeting with my Savior and talking to Him. And to intercede for others and to pray for others. I ran across a couple more statements about George Mueller that I want to share as examples of prayer. And it said, the statement said that with his Bible open before him and his finger upon the promise, he would plead the promise, and so he received what he asked, taking hold of God's will and refusing to let go until His will comes to pass. And as you said, pray in the Scriptures. Praying about the Scriptures and letting God speak to you and give you understanding. And hey, you try that sometime. You pray about some Scripture that God's put on your heart and ask Him to reveal it to you and show you and to help you understand. He'll do exactly that. Mueller discovered that by meditating on Scripture, he was more able to experience a meaningful prayer time. Meditating on the Scripture, he was able to experience a more meaningful prayer time. George Mueller relied totally upon God to supply the needs of the work of God that he had him doing. He was faithful to rely on God, and God was faithful to provide. And it is, as I told you, I think, last Sunday about Mueller, that he never expressed his needs to anybody. He always took it before God, and he told him what he needed for the orphanages and things like that. He took it to God, and God met with him, and God met the needs, and God provided. Now, I read you a biography on him last week. I've got one on another man I want to read you. Have you ever heard of E.M. Bounds? He has several books on prayer. And I want to read you this biography of him. It says, prominently known as E.M. Bounds, his name was Edward McKendry Bounds. He was an American author, attorney, and member of the Methodist Episcopal Church South clergy. He is known for writing 11 books, 9 of which focus on the subject of prayer. And those books were, the first one was Purpose in Prayer, The Essentials of Prayer, The Weapon of Prayer, Prayer and the Praying Man, Power Through Prayer, The Possibilities of Prayer, and The Reality of Prayer. These were the books that this man wrote. Only 2 of Bounds' books were published before he died. After his death, Reverend Claude Lissus Chilton, Jr., grandson of William Parrish Chilton, an admirer of Bounds, worked on preserving and preparing Bounds' collection of manuscripts for publication. By 1921, more editorial work was being done by the Reverend Homer W. Hodge. And I'm reading you this because I've got some statements from this man, from his books and things, that I want to share. And I want you to know where these come from the person who it is. It says, Edward McKendry Bounds was born on August 15, 1835, in Shelbyville, Missouri. He is the son of Thomas Jefferson and Hester A. Bounds. He was the 5th child in a family of 3 sons and 3 daughters. Thomas Jefferson Bounds was one of the original settlers of Shelby County. That's his father. Prior to organizing the county, Thomas Bounds served as the first justice of the peace. In April 1835, he was named county clerk, followed by an appointment to serve as the county commissioner in December 1835. In 1836, he began holding circuit court in his home during the 3rd term each year. In his capacity as county commissioner, he platted the town into blocks and lots for new settlers. In 1840, he advanced the building of the First Methodist Church. In 1849, Thomas contracted tuberculosis and died. After his father's death, E.M. Bounds joined several other relatives in a trek to Mesquite Canyon in California following the discovery of gold in the area. After 4 unsuccessful years, they returned to Missouri. Bounds studied law in Hannibal, Missouri, after which at age 19 he became the youngest practicing lawyer in the state of Missouri. Although apprenticed as an attorney, Bounds felt called to Christian ministry in his early 20s during the Third Great Awakening. Following a Brush Arbor Revival meeting led by evangelist Smith Thomas, he closed his law office and moved to Palmer, Missouri to enroll in the Centenary Seminary. That's a tongue twister. 2 years later, in 1859, at the age of 24, he was ordained by his denomination and was named pastor of the nearby Monticello, Missouri Methodist Church. Bounds' first marriage was to Emmy Elizabeth Barnett from Washington, Georgia, on September 9, 1876. They had 2 daughters, Celeste and Cornelia, and a son, Edward, and Emmy died on February 18th of 1886. 20 months later, Edward married Emmy's cousin, Harriet Elizabeth Barnett, in 1887. To them were born 3 sons and 3 daughters. His son Edward, by his first wife, died at the age of 6, and his son Charles, my second wife, died 8 days after his first birthday. Military service. E.M. Bounds did not support slavery, but because he was a pastor at a congregation in the recently formed Methodist Episcopal Church South, his name was included in a list of 250 names who were to take an oath of allegiance and post a $500 bond. Edward saw no reason for a U.S. citizen to take such an oath. He was morally opposed to the Union raising funds in this way, and he didn't have the $500. Bounds and the others on the list were arrested in 1861 by Union troops, and Bounds was charged as a Confederate sympathizer. He was held with other noncombatants in a federal prison in St. Louis for a year and a half. He was then transferred to Memphis and released in a prisoner exchange between the Union and the Confederacy. He became a chaplain in the Confederate States Army. During the Second Battle of Franklin, Bounds suffered a severe forehead injury from a Union saber, and he was taken prisoner. On June 28, 1865, Bounds was among Confederate prisoners who were released upon the taking of an oath of loyalty to the United States. Upon his release as a prisoner of the Union Army, he felt compelled to return to war-torn Franklin and help rebuild it spiritually. He became the pastor of the Franklin Methodist Episcopal Church South. His primary method was to establish weekly prayer sessions that sometimes lasted hours. Bounds was regionally celebrated for leading spiritual revival in Franklin and eventually began an itinerant preaching ministry throughout the country. After serving several important churches in St. Louis and other places south, he became editor of the St. Louis Christian Advocate. For 8 years and later, associate editor of the Nashville Christian Advocate for 4 years. The trial of his faith came to him while in Nashville, and he quietly retired to his home without asking even a pension. His principal work in Washington, Georgia, his home, was rising at 4 a.m. and praying until 7 a.m. He filled a few engagements as evangelist during the 18 years of his life work. While on speaking engagements, he would not neglect his early morning time in prayer and cared nothing for the protests of the other occupants of his room at being awakened so early. No man could have made more melting appeals for lost souls and the backslidden ministers than did Bounds. Tears ran down his face as he pleaded for us all in that room. According to the people who were constantly with him in prayer and preaching for 8 years, not a foolish word did we ever hear him utter. He was one of the most intense eagles of God that ever penetrated the spiritual ether. He could not brook delay in rising or being late for dinner. He would go with me to street meetings, often in Brooklyn, and listen to the preaching and sing with those beautiful songs of Wesley and Watts. It says only two of his books were published before his death, but he had spent time in prayer. I like that. He rose at 5 a.m. and he prayed till 7. I can relate to the 4, but I don't get to pray till 7. I got to be at work by that time. But I wanted to read you that to give you an idea of some of the statements who was making those. And I think that's pretty impressive. The man spent that much time in prayer every morning. Didn't care. He was in rooms with others and he didn't care for their protest at him praying at 4 o'clock in the morning. I imagine he woke some people up, but he didn't care. He wanted to meet with his Savior. Amen. He wanted to spend time with him. E.M. Bounds, power of prayer. The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunities and freshness in pursuits other than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking Him the rest of the day. He believed that he should begin the day in prayer and spend the time in prayer, and that's exactly what he did. He also made this statement: what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, mighty men of prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of power. He says in this statement, the Word of God is the food by which prayer is nourished and made strong. Prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in the closet. Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater. Spending time with God in prayer, one-on-one, that relationship, and growing in that relationship. And those are powerful statements, but kind of a reading of his life there of about how everything that happened to him. And I believe he was a man that totally trusted in the Lord and had to spend the time with him. Now I want us to look at the master's example of prayer. And we read that. We started in Matthew there, chapter 26, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to read you some others, just different scriptures. Matthew 4 said, He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness where He fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that makes E.M. Bounds look pretty small in his prayer life. Jesus made His way into the wilderness and He spent 40 days and 40 nights. And I wrote a question here. How long did we pray today? How long did we actually take time and pray today and seek God and spend time with Him just one-on-one? Mark 1:34 says, In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Early to meet with God He did, in solitude. He spent time with God, praying and seeking Him. Luke 6:12-13, He prayed all night about making an important decision. And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles. I believe in that night of prayer that He chose the 12. As God directed him, as he prayed and he sought the Father's direction, God gave him direction and the disciples to choose. He spent a great deal of time praying at night, Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, I realize that not everybody can get up and pray early in the morning. I'm not telling you that's the way you got to do it. Jesus prayed in the morning. Jesus prayed at night. He's our example. My point is, He told in the very first scripture we read to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You're going to find strength for the day by praying and watching and letting God direct and lead in your life. And he says that in the morning and at night He did that. You pick a time that works good for you. Hey, you may pray both of them. Praise the Lord. That's good if you'd spend the time doing that. But what we need to do is pray, pray, pray and seek God's face. He spent a great, Matthew 26, 1 through 46, we read part of that. But after facing his betrayer, now this is when he was there at the Garden of Gethsemane. And just before this, that he had called out the one who betrayed him. And what did he do? He went there to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed and he sought God's face. He spent the evening in prayer. It wasn't the amount of time that he spent there, but it was his earnestness in prayer when he was seeking God's will. Intercession is prayer that involves taking hold of God's will and refusing to let go until His will comes to pass. And we've seen Jesus do exactly that. In verses 42 and 44, He says, He went away again to the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. In verse 44, and He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I believe he laid hold of God. He interceded. He laid hold of God's will and he refused to let go until it come to pass. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He was in prayer and he committed it unto the Father. The account from Luke chapter 23 verses 41 through 44 says, And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was with great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed so hard that he sweat as it was drops of blood. He was so earnest in that. How earnest are we in our prayer life with God? How earnest are we in spending time? Prayer is for me to be conformed to His will. It is to adjust me to God and not adjust God to me. We reach that point seeking God that we have to say, not my will, but thine be done. How do I pray? Romans 8. 26 and 27, as we read, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. It intercedes. It brings things to our heart as we're praying. There's many a morning that I'm praying, and I'm praying for those that are lost that I've always prayed for, and then God will bring a new face upon me or a name into my heart, and I will pray for that one. A lot of mornings your face will come before me, or your name will come before me, or I'll think of you, and I will pray for you. The Spirit intercedes and directs us and leads us in what we should pray for. The Spirit itself maketh intercession to us. I believe God teaches us and He reveals to us. And as Megan said earlier, God doesn't have to hear what we're praying about. He knows our heart. He knows where we're at. But He gives us the privilege to come to Him in that relationship and to grow in a relationship. And you think about it when you first met your spouses or your friends that you have. You spent time with them and you talked with them. You spent the time with them. It's the same way with spending time with the Lord. And the way you do that is in prayer. Spending time in prayer, just one-on-one, you and the Lord, talking to Him, entering into that closet and just seeking God. Are there any guidelines? So what we should do to follow Jesus' example? Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. He's telling us to develop a lifestyle of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Continue on to pray. Wherever you're at, hey, it don't have to be the morning and night. It'd be driving down the road. A lot of times I'm praying. If you meet me on the road, I'm talking with the Lord. And He's speaking to me and directing me. And I thank Him for that. You enter into your closet with the Lord. And you pray and you seek His faith. Matthew 6:7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't repeat the same words over and over. A relationship involves talking and sharing. It's not just saying the same thing over and over. Yeah, we're to lift those needs up. We're to cry out. We're to pray for those that are lost. But it's a conversation between you and the Lord. Remember to listen. Remember to listen what God's speaking to you and to hear what He's trying to say. We don't need a book of prayers. We only need to speak with our heart to the Lord. Amen. How do I pray? Exodus 33:11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Talk to the Lord as a friend. He is your friend. Spend time with Him. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You have direct access to God personally. I don't have to go through another man. I can talk to God myself. I don't have to pray to somebody else or tell somebody else to pray for me. But I appreciate your prayers. I do. You pray for me when you think of me. You lift my name up. I appreciate that. But I can go to the Father. I can lift up my needs and I can petition Him and I can talk to Him and I can listen to see what He says. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. I believe He'll speak unto us face to face in our prayer life if we'll just listen and let Him speak. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Keep your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ the number one priority in your life. Abide in Him. And let His words abide in you. And He says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hey, He's telling us to keep that personal relationship, to walk with Him, to be close with Him. What else tonight? Things that will hinder your prayer life. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you got something between you and God, confess it unto Him. Put it on the altar. Get it right with God. Because He says, His hand is not shortened. He says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you. Get things right with God. Have that strong personal relationship. Let Him be Lord. Let Him be in control. Confess that sin. Put it before Him. Let Him take care of it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know what? He says He'll forgive us. He'll forgive us and He'll be there to meet with you. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. An unforgiving spirit will hinder your prayer life. He tells us to have a forgiving heart, to forgive those around us for whatever they may have done. And the Word of God is true. I'm not telling you can't read anything you can't read on your own and know that it's God's Word. It's the truth and how that He's telling us to live. We're not to have that unforgiving spirit. We're supposed to forgive. We don't want our prayer life hindered. We don't want our relationship hindered with the Lord. And He's telling us to put these things out before Him. What else? 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And I put here bitterness towards your mate or others as well. Now, me and Tammy love each other. I hope she loves me. She stays with me. But there's been times that we disagree on things. And if you don't watch it in your relationship with each other, you'll get bitter about some things. And I've knelt down before when we've had a disagreement or something, and I've sought God, and it was like there was a wall between me and heaven. You know, I thought I was in the right. You know what I'm talking about, brother? I thought I was in the right. And here I am trying to tell God to get Tammy right, to get things right, get things worked out. And here my prayer is not even making it past the rooftop. Because why? Because I had the bitterness in my soul and I'm thinking I was the one that was right. And it was the way that I thought it should be. And you know what God did? He convicted me there praying and trying to do what I was doing. And He revealed to me the wrong that I was in. And I had to go and I had to make things right with her and I had to confess with her and admit to her that I was the one that was wrong. Hey, y'all may not be that way. It may just be me. I've had the same thing with my son and different others. I've had to go ask their forgiveness and get things right so that I could have that right relationship with God, that my prayer life would be where it needed to be. And you'd be surprised when you listen to what He's telling your heart, if there's something, bitterness in there or an unforgiving spirit, that if you go get those things right, that the doors of heaven will open back up and you can hear God and you can speak to God and know that He hears you. Hey, that may just be for me tonight, but I believe it's for others. Let God speak to you and direct you. And if you feel that that door is closed, examine it. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Whatever that temptation may be, watch and pray. James 4:2 says, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not." He tells us to come before Him, to depend on Him to supply every need. He said, by not asking is why you have not. Now, He's not going to grant you with a bass boat and things like that. You go, but we're talking about spiritual things. God will supply your spiritual needs. He says to ask. You have not because you ask not. Hey, we all need a fresh filling of the Spirit of God occasionally. We need to be filled. That vessel needs to be refilled. He says all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. James 4:3 says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." And here's that one. You ask for selfish or wrong motives. You know, if God gave us everything that we asked, we'd be some pretty sorry people. We'd be worthless if He gave us everything that we thought we had to have. And I'm glad that He does not do that. I'm glad that He supplies what we need because we ask with the wrong motives. You ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Hey, these are things that will hinder your prayer life. Proverbs 28:9. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." George Mueller said, "Meditating on the Word will cause a more meaningful prayer life. I must consistently read God's Word because it is God speaking to me. What will hinder my prayer life? Being insensitive to the Word of God." Reading that and God speaking to you and it's something that you just don't really want to do, and being insensitive to what God's directing you will hinder your prayer life. Put it on the altar. Get things right with God. Get things right with God. What else is there? Basic types of prayer. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. What kind of prayer is there? There's a prayer of praise, verbally recognizing who, what God is and worshiping Him because of His attributes. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you'll turn over there. David cries out to God here. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 14. Says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that's in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people? What we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all these things come of thee and of thine own have we given thee. Hey, praise God in your prayer time. Give him praise and thank him for what he's done. Give him the glory. Let him know that you appreciate what he's doing in your life. The prayers that he's answered. Give him praise for that. Psalms 34:1 says, through 4 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Give him praise, give him glory. Psalms 15:23, whoso offereth praise glorify me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I shew the salvation of God. We can worship God praising him as we pray. Now, I've talked to you before about that experience in God class that I went through, and then I got to do some youth and the youth experience in God. And there's a section in there, one lesson in the week, one of the weeks, that says take time in prayer. And just to call out the names of God. Calling out the names of God and praising Him for what He is in those names. The Bible is full of different names for God. He's our Father. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Hey, you try that sometime. Just praying and calling out those names and just thanking Him for being those things. Thank you, Father, for being the King of Kings. Thank you, Father, for being the Lord of Lords. Thank you for being on the throne and being in control and giving praise and glory for that. You see what happens in your prayer time there. I believe the glory will come down and the hair on the back of your neck will stand up as the Holy Spirit moves upon you. God wants to hear our praise. God wants to be glorified in each and everything. And He is worthy. Only He is worthy of praise and glory and honor. Can I get an amen on that? How else are we to pray? We're to pray in giving thanksgiving, expression of gratitude for personal blessings in your life or the lives of others around you, acknowledging specific answers to prayer. Now, we did that in our testimonies tonight, telling how God had worked and telling how He had met the needs. And I figured Brother Arliss would come around because I've heard him testify many times of that praying mom and daddy that he had and different things that he had been into. And he'd always say, he'd talk to him and he'd say, yeah, it's about that time. And he gave thanks to God for that. He gave praise to God for what he had done. We're to thank him. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't forget to thank him for what he's done. Don't forget to thank him for what he's going to do in the coming day. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. What else is another type of prayer? How about confession? Agreeing with the Holy Spirit when he points out areas of your life that are not pleasing to God. Admitting to our sin rather than covering it up or ignoring it. 1 John 1:9-10 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. He tells us to confess in our prayer, to tell Him, to confess it, to get it before Him and to get it right. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Hey, for His mercy endureth forever. He wants us to put it before Him. God will use your prayer times to soften your heart and change your focus. As you pray for others, the Holy Spirit will work in your heart so that you have the same compassion for them that God does for you. If you're not as active in God's service as you know that you should be, begin praying about it. The time spent with God will change you and make you more like Christ. Now, I've shared with you the scriptures tonight about praying and spending time. I know you're good praying people, but there's always room for more time to pray and spend with God and to talk with Him and to grow in that relationship. It just makes better people of us because there's more of Him in our life. Matthew 26:41, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, as you begin this week, maybe even tonight when you go home, Satan don't like what I'm telling you. He don't want you spending time with God. He's going to try any way he can to keep you from spending that time in prayer. But you just knuckle down and you say, "Get thee hence, Satan. I'm going to spend time with my Savior. I'm going to spend time with my Lord. I don't care what you're trying to cause. I'm going to do it." Hey, you take that step and God will meet you. God will work it out and God will take care of you. I believe that with all my heart. The scriptures bear it out that He will be there and He will help you. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't let that flesh control you. Jesus told them to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be mindful of the things going on. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this night, this time together. Thank You, Father, for the Word of God, the truth of it. And Father, I pray tonight that if we're not been in prayer as we should have been, that Lord, after tonight, that we'll make that extra effort. We'll step up and we'll make the time, Father. Lord, as Brother Brian comes to piano tonight, we'll just have him play a song tonight. And I just pray, Father, that for some here that need to come and, Father, the things that I've shared, Lord, if You've dealt with someone about it, that they'll come and they'll meet with You and they'll get things right. Help them in their prayer life to grow. Help us each one, Father, to be Your servants. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us, that we can be the vessels, Lord, that would pray for others. Lord, not only just when someone asks if we'd pray for them, but Father, taking that next step and just pray for them right then and there. Calling out to You. Lifting those needs up to You. Would You please help us each one, Father? Would You please direct us and give us strength? We love You, Savior. Pray that You'll just have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me tonight.